You're listening to Wisdom of the Ages, the show that taps into the many expressions of universal, ancestral, and personal wisdom to ignite evolutionary consciousness.
Welcome, friends and mystical travelers. This is Anne Kate Sullivan, host of Wisdom of the Ages and author of the Sparkle series for children and the Legends of the Grail series for adults. Now, today I have a different sort of story for you. Now, I have a Swedish uncle. He's not really my uncle, but I call him my Swedish uncle, Bruce L. Erickson. And years ago, Bruce was staying with us, and I think it was back in about 2003, and my children were little at the time. And he told us a Christmas story, which was called The Store of All We Treasure. And I never forgot the story. So I asked Bruce if this particular Christmas that he would, if he would recite, because he's going to do an oral recitation, if he would recite this beautiful story that he wrote quite some time ago. And even the story behind the story is very touching. I'll let him tell that. So Bruce L. Erickson is the founder of the Heartwork Center. You can check that out on heartworkcenter.com.
Heartworkcenter.org.
That's right. Heartworkcenter.org. So it's a really interesting site. All about health and well-being and so forth. Anyway, Uncle Bruce, I want to welcome you to Wisdom of the Ages.
Oh, thank you, Anne. Thank you. Pleasure to be here. And a pleasure for me to tell the story. I've been a long time, but it's very dear to me.
So. Well, I think we could all sort of get our cup of eggnog and put our feet up and get ready to enter this very interesting world that you created. Now you told me, if I have this correctly, that you wrote this for your wife who passed away, I believe, in 1999. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yes.
You want to tell us just a little bit about that?
Well, it's, Carice, I made a point through our marriage that I write her stories and poems, and she, at a certain point, she turned to me and said, "Bruce, you have to make a promise. You'll always write me a Christmas story, a story at Christmas or for my birthday." And I said, "Well, I'd love to, you know." And it happens that in this particular story, there's things about it that are actually that really happened. Okay, they're not fiction or invented. They were actually places and circumstances and people that all contributed to it. And it just in a period of, I would say, just cosmic revelation or divine revelation, it just, the story just flowed out of me. And it's, I've always been very proud of it. Priest just loved it and loved it. And actually, she shared it all over where she was working at the office. She read it for all the women in the office.
Okay. That's so beautiful, Bruce. Yeah. I really hope that wherever Paris is, that she'll join in and listen from the other world as you tell the story again.
Yes.
And we'll dedicate the story today, the episode today, to Paris and her well-being. And also to all the people around the world today who need this story. I mean, stories always help us walk into the light, don't they?
Yes, they do, and the interesting part about it is that in this particular case, all the symbolism and everything else is actually all true. And as I tell people who've heard the story, I said, you know, the interesting part about it is that in writing it and experiences it, that it was also a mystical journey for me, because that's exactly what it was. And I didn't realize at the time, but, you know, I was a participant in the journey myself. And for that, I'm, you know, there's some things in life that just warms our heart just from having the experience in our life.
Absolutely. It's so true. So I tell you what, we'll do the quick ad break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, I'm going to just turn you loose to tell this tale. And I'm really looking forward to listening again and to probably hearing it in an entirely new way. So,
yeah.
Okay, everybody, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Good.
The Superpower Experience goes way beyond the podcast. Listeners can connect with hosts and one another inside the Superpower Universe Plus membership. Members get access to high-vibe connections, Superpower masterclasses, and much, much more. Don't wait another moment to step into your superpowers. Go to superpowerexperts.com and sign up today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Anne Kate Sullivan, host of Wisdom of the Ages, and you can listen to many more episodes on superpowerexperts.com/wisdomoftheages. And we love storytelling. We love walking from this linear, ordinary world, which can be challenging at times, into the other worlds where magic is possible. So, Bruce L. Erickson, A Christmas Story. Now, the title is, or at least the working title at the time, was The Store of All We Treasure. Are you ready to tell the tale?
I am ready to tell the tale. Thank you, Anne.
Okay.
I want to say all to the listeners here that this isn't a story just of imagination. Parts of it are actually based on true events and places and circumstances that I wasn't even at time fully aware of, but as time went on, I learned the truth of the matter. So this story was written to my wife as a Christmas present. And I want to paint the scene in the very beginning to you. The initial scene and setting is New York City. It is about midpoint in a December. Cold chill has got in the air. The wisps of snow have kissed the environment of the city, and people are skating at Rockefeller Center, and stores are decorated and everything else. The thing that we could expect from those scenes, as we've all seen in the movies. Well, what happened is that the person this is a story about is a man named Tom. And Tom is like a lot of young, up-and-coming business people. He's in his early 40s, and he's works with a investment house, but he's a little aside. He does technical assessments and investments, and also is an engineering side of him as well. He's very absorbed in his work, too much so. And it's a way of him kind of avoiding personal, involvements to a certain degree. He's had some events of his own that were with relationships and things that were disappointing in his life. So he shelters himself emotionally pretty well. So as Tom made a decision that he had to go to England before Christmas on a business matter. But before that, he saw a therapist and a wonderful elderly gentleman named Glenn, and who insisted that he talk to Tom before he left. Tom found himself on a penthouse over the Hudson River. And just before he came, there was a visitor that arrived. There is a beckoning in Canadian mythology of a thing called a snow owl. And the Eskimos have long said when he appears, there's things of mysterious nature happen. This owl flew down the frozen Hudson River, and as the lights of the city emerged, banked off to the left and perched himself on the balcony of the penthouse. Glenn, who is appreciative of his visitor, who has visited him a number of times in the past, has greets the snow owl as if to say, and welcome, okay. It's interesting you appear at this time of the year. I have no doubt you have some magic in mind while your presence is bestowed upon us. The owl hoots, looks at him, and you almost see his head nodding in acceptance of what Glenn had said. And as there was some noise from the kitchen, and Tom was in there, he was fixing himself a drink, and says, come out and says, Glenn, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? He says, oh, I'm talking to my friend, the owl. You know, Glenn, you often surprise me. I don't know what to say. I don't have many conversations with owls myself. So they talked for a while, and Glenn said, Tom, I'm concerned about you. You're working hard, diligently, but there's no real personal side to your life, okay? I was fortunate enough to meet that wonderful lady that apparently you see from time to time. She's up in Connecticut. She's a wonderful, beautiful woman, okay? And Tom said, oh, yes, I know. Catherine's very special. You know, she's also got two kids, and that's a lot of a challenge, especially for someone with me in my life, okay? But Tom, consider life is not just about your work. It's not just about your successes. It's not even about the money you make. You know, what you have to do is also reward your spirit, your well-being, your joy, okay, the fun in your life. And it's important. I'm a therapist, okay? I have to coach people on successful people all this time. The more money they make, the more busier they become, okay, the more removed from life they become. And that I don't want to see with you. Tom, feeling well chided by this time. And, you know, I've got to rush back to the office. I got a flight out tonight. And Glenn just wished him well. And I said, what are you going to do for Christmas, Glenn? Oh, you and your friend Jerry will probably just be playing cards and drinking hot toddies and watching television, okay? come on, Tom, be kind to us, okay? So Tom leaves. He heads across town, and he goes to his office. And in his office, his wonderful assistant, Mary, is there. She's a woman in her about mid-50s, a bit stern, okay? And how should I say, doesn't take any sass from anybody, okay? And she said that, Tom, why on earth are you going to England this time of year? You should be, you know, the traffic, the flights and everything else. I mean, it's crazy. And you don't need to do this. And Tom said, but I do. I have to get this business done. I have to get it completed by the end of the year. Tom, is it more about avoiding spending Christmas, okay, with Catherine and the kids? Or do you really have to go? Mary, that statement is a little too personal. I don't know what to say to that. And then he suddenly realized on his business phone, he had left a message that said he would not be back until January 5th. Unfortunately, that was the phone number that Catherine called and got the message that he would be gone and he wouldn't be there for Christmas. She was pretty hurt by that, and so were his kids who knew Tom. So, and he suddenly realized that was a mistake because she had called on his business line. Anyway, as Mary left the room to go get some papers taken care of, he turned around, and suddenly on his window ledge, he's facing a large white snow owl who's now looking at him, the same owl that had shown up in Glenn's penthouse roof. Like, what on earth are you doing here? And the owl just stared at him. And it left him a bit queasy on the inside of himself. And so he, you know, a bit disheveled, he backed away. And Mary came back, says, what's going on, Tom? He says, there's this owl staring at me. And she said, I don't see any owl. And the old place called her, what did he look like? He said he was all white and everything else. She said, did you see a snow owl? Well, I says, I don't know what you call it, but he said, yes, it was all white. He says, well, where I come from, that's a symbol you have to pay attention to. It means that something is going to change in your life. And Tom didn't know what to make of it. And he shrugs his shoulders and packs his bag and heads for the airport. What he doesn't realize, all the way to the airport, the owl was following him along the way. Tom connected with his flight and flew off to London, okay, that night. When he arrived at London at Heathrow, you know, his old professor, Christian, was there to greet him, Christian and his wife, Susan, you know, inviting him over to stay the night in Belgravia and have dinner. It's always good to see Christian. Christian was the one that was inspired him to do what he's doing in life, and a crusty old soul, okay, but with a warm heart and a lot of insight to life. So that evening at dinner, he, Christian and Susan had sat there and ate, and during that ride, they said, well, why don't you stay with us for Christmas? We'd love to have you. I said, oh, you know, I can't do that. I've got to go off to Manchester. I've got some business to take care of. Oh, business schmishmas. You know, and Christian muttered, okay, that's ridiculous this time of year. You know, and here in England, everybody's got their head in the punch bowl, okay, and telling outrageous stories and shopping, and nobody can take anything you say serious at this time of year, okay, except fun and meeting with friends and colleagues and having a few visits at the pub. So Tom realized that Christian was telling the truth. This is exactly what it was like. So later in the morning, he took the train and headed for Manchester. You know, it's a long ride and reflection and seeing the hustle and bustle of people on the train, you know, with children and packages in their arms and everything else, obviously far removed from any business matters. Okay, arrived in Manchester and to the inn that had been arranged for him, and to meet with scientist and engineer and a businessman, okay, who he had been corresponding with. It was his attempt, okay, to get a business agreement, okay, to wrap up before the end of the year. Anyway, they sat at a pub in a quiet corner and etched out all what was needed to take for the contract. And he had also visited their offices to take care of the business and get it formalized. Fortunately, it was all cut and dried and had worked very well and everything. He was feeling a sense of satisfaction. It also gave him a little bit of extra time because he had planned on, you know, catching another flight out of Heathrow back to the States. So anyway, he said, I tell you what, I'm going to leave like this afternoon and try to get to the airport. Said, well, you know, it could be foggy, okay, and driving this time of night. He said, that's okay. So he rented a car. He couldn't get a flight out at the airport, okay? The flights were pretty well socked in. So he rented a car and headed down the M1, which is the main freeway of England. He heads down and drives along the way and noticing a lot of traffic and increasingly a kind of fogging atmosphere. In fact, the freeway was incredibly slow. And checking with his maps and the direction and on his phone, he realized that he'd have a shortcut if he got off one of the exits coming up. And he would have to take the country and the world roads, which was okay by him. Anyway, he missed his first exit. And he was somewhat distracted and And later on, he drove some distance and he decided, well, I don't exactly know where I'm going, but I'll take it anyway. So he got off the road and headed along the way. Now, this was a very quiet time. I mean, there wasn't hardly any traffic. Things were really quiet and quite dark and somewhat foggy. So it made driving a little bit, how should I say, one had to be very careful. Along that way, he was trying to, he says, I'm hungry, Tis, I've got to get something to eat. And as he was driving along, he saw a woman walking alongside the road, an elderly woman with a dog. And he slowed down and rolled down the window and is there a town nearby or someplace to eat? And he said, oh, you just keep on going. You'll see a railway station. Okay. And then off to the left is a little town. And there's a pub there. You can get a chance to eat. So he took her directions and headed on down. And sure enough, as he saw the railway station, he turned to the left. And sure enough, okay, there was a brightly lit pub that was on the left-hand side of the street. And as he's pulling in to park the car, he noticed something else. He looks over his shoulder and suddenly he sees a lights of a shop that is open. Now, this is a bit unusual for this time of night and also in such a rural area. Normally, shopkeepers don't keep their shops open that late. But as he was getting out of his car, he was beckoned with curiosity about what was lying there. He gets out of his car and he walks across the road and peeks into the window to see what it is, only to face the shopkeeper facing him directly with a hand beckoning, oh, come on in, come on in. He was a little shocked by that. He opens the door and comes on in. And he was just awestruck by the color. He knew that it was it was a very unusual place, and said to the shopkeeper, he says, oh, I wanted to stop and get a bite to eat before I head on down to the airport. So the shopkeeper looks at him and grins and reaches over and gets a ceramic crock and opens up the lid and he looks inside and he said, there's giant chocolate chip cookies in that crock. Okay. He said, have a couple of those. You'll be okay with that. I mean, he was kind of surprised to be treated like that. There's a cup of hot cider I have for my customers here. You can have a cup of that as well. So that was a warm welcome, he thought. And then as he's chewing on the cookie and drinking the cider, is wandering around. And then suddenly things start to happen. He was seeing a sense of familiarity. Up against the wall was a sled that a child would have in the snow. But that sled was virtually identical to the one he grew up with as a child. He looked around more. He was seeing the toys and things that were exactly like what he had when he was growing up. Even the books, the children's books that he read, they were out there. It was like a deja vu to a time of long ago when he lived with his parents. And he was seeing things that were of his own childhood and the experiences he had. And then his trance was somewhat broken when he heard a voice. And the voice was hidden by the rest of the aisles and the trees and the decorations. The voice was almost identical to his grandfather. It was chilling. He says, well, that's grandfather. And as he scurried around to try to get a view of the person. He saw that man who resembled his grandfather with two children. One of them looked just like him. Tom was somewhat shooken by the experience, but he was also distracted when a couple of young children came up to him and tugged at his sleeve, and the little girls looked at Tom and said, "Do you realize this is a very magical place? This is a magical place." You know, which only added to Tom's, surprise and shock. And, you know, this is not something he's ever experienced. And the little girl would lead him to other things there. And all the ornaments that he would see from the Christmas tree ornaments, the paintings on the walls, the little gifts, the elves, the little elves that that would be there. And suddenly he would hear a voice. "It is magic. It is magic." He turned around, and it was as if one of those elves was talking to him. Only it was like a doll. But when he would turn his head, it would speak. Everything about the place was magical. It was magical to the point that Tom was shocked. It was like something he never could imagine or experience, because there were so many memories he triggered and so many spontaneous things that would happen. Musical instruments that would suddenly play themselves, bells that would ring, you know, when he would walk by. And it was like somehow him being there was activating things that normally would never respond. But he was so taken by the whole experience and shook at the same time that, you know, he went into the store to try to get some gifts. And in the process, just completely was overwhelmed by the experience. And soon in the experience, he heard a bell because the store would be closing soon. And Tom, you know, just still puzzled, baffled, amazed, as if he now was embroiled in something he couldn't explain or didn't even know how to relate to. But it was wonderful. It was inviting. It was mystical. It was like his imagination couldn't even begin to grasp everything he was seeing. Well, and all the children that had been there and the people, they all reminded him of something or people he had known in his past. Well, time went on, and the bell was ringing again, and it was time for him to he says, "I'm storekeeper," said, "I'm closing soon." So Tom reluctantly, you know, left the store and walked over across the street to his car. And when he went to get his car, he turned back to the store, which at the last glance, the storekeeper again was pressed against the window, and everything turned dark. And as it turned dark, it's almost the store just disappeared, you know, like it wasn't there. And so he started head for Heathrow, and away he went. Just puzzled and baffled beyond words. Gets to the airport, and fortunately he made it in time. and he got seated on the plane, and as he's sitting on in the seat, he's watching all the passengers with packages and different things. Obviously, had been shopping and preparing to head for the States for Christmas. And then realizing in himself, hadn't bought anything for anybody. He didn't have anything, and what to do. The flight to New York was uneventful, except for this, his rehashing this very puzzling experience in his mind. When he landed in New York, he immediately headed for his apartment. And when he got there and looked around and everything, it was empty, it was cold. He really didn't know what to do. He tried to call Catherine. She wasn't answering her phone. And then he reflected on the fact that, well, the message that she got is he wasn't coming back until January 5th. He didn't know quite what to do. And her phone wasn't being answered. After a while, he just resigned himself to the fact, I got to do something. And he decided to get in his car and drive up to Connecticut on the chance that he could see her. And as she wasn't expecting him, her sister in the area invited her and the kids over to spend a Christmas Eve with them. Tom drove up there and arriving at Catherine's place, found the house empty and no one was there. He tried her again and again and couldn't get her to connect. Finally, after some time and his getting cold, he was just about ready to leave when suddenly Catherine's car appeared and with the kids. She had finally looked at her phone and realized that he was trying to call her. And she came back to the house, quite surprised he was there. And he said, I'm sorry, you know, I left that message on my phone. I completed everything and I'm back. She said, I'm glad that you're here. And the kids were glad to see him too. He was feeling, how should I say, ill prepared. He hadn't brought anything for anybody. And it was kind of sad, but they were more concerned about seeing him. And as he helped her with everything, the groceries out of the car and got the step for the house, it snowed a fair amount. And as they were opening the door, he looked off to the side and there was something under the pile of snow. And it looked like a big box or big package. And Catherine said, dust it off. Here's a broom. Okay, dust it off. And whatever is there, bring it in. So he did and dusted off and everything else and brought in. And it was a big sack of boxes. And, you know, set it down, didn't know what was going on. Okay. So as they settled in and the kids were there, they started looking into the package. And here was presents for everyone. Presents for, you know, the daughter, Alice, the little son, Kevin, for Catherine. And Catherine's grandpa father was there too. And puffing on his pipe, said, something interesting at play here. You know, he, by the way, was also a friend of Glenn's in New York. And they had kind of both a little bit of a mystical bent. He had actually also seen the snow owl in the tree in front of the house a little while earlier. So as they're unpacking things, all the presents are coming from him. couldn't understand what in the heck, how did this happen? How did this take place? And then he saw where it came from. On the tie was the ticket that said, from the store of all we treasure in England. All those presents came from the store of all treasure, as if he picked them.
No.
And be shocked. He couldn't believe it. And there was one little box for him. You know, he put it in his pocket. He just puzzled and baffled by the whole experience. And so when that happened, as the evening went on, he just went and stayed that night. And the thing is that in the morning, as he's getting up and breakfast and still baffled, you know, he reached inside of his pocket of his jacket and there was a box and like his name on it. And he pulled up the box and puzzled with a puzzled look on his face, unwrapped it. And in that box was a big shock. What it was in that box was a ring. And in that ring was engraved, to Catherine, whom I treasure the most, Tom.
No.
She and Tom embraced, and the kids come in happily. They were married a short time later. So this story, the store of all we treasure, it's inside us. The only thing we have to do is find it. And in it, we discover what we value the most in ourselves and our others. So embrace it this season and enjoy your Christmas.
Oh my goodness, Bruce, that's so beautiful. I had forgotten some of the details.
Did I do okay?
You did great. Thank you so much. I hope everyone who's listening really enjoyed that story. It's interesting how it touches your heart through the years too. Like you, 50 years ago, you wrote it for Paris, and then you told it to my children when they were young, and then just hearing it again, that's a timeless tale. Thank you. Thank you for writing it, and thank you for sharing it. It's really meaningful. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's hard for me to read that or say it without, if we were together right now, you'd see me, my eyes are wet. Okay.
And I
have a hard time holding it together through the story. So, what with the afterword was, is that I did get gifts from that store. I packed it in, I sent the story to Paris. But what she didn't know is that she wanted a new travel bag. I got her a travel bag, and in every pocket of that bag, I packed gifts from that store for her Christmas and sent it to her. And when she got the story, she read it to her friends, and then the package arrived because there was no place in her apartment to receive a box. Okay, I had it shipped to her office. She opened it up in front of all the women that she worked with, and here's the presents from the store of all we treasure, and it was all there. Aww. You know, the little elves, the crystal bell that I know, and all of that stuff was all I had it all sent. And she later on told me, she said, there's a lot of husbands and boyfriends that are in a lot of trouble. The women were just beside themselves. She said, that's the most romantic thing we've ever heard of any kind in our life. And I just but I enjoyed every minute of it. You know, I mean, it was done, you know, and all those people in that story, I found out when that story was read for Glenn. Glenn was a real person, by the way. He read the story. He said to me, he said, "Tell Bruce that that story is true." And Jerry said, "What do you mean?" He says, the snow owl did come to me, and it did land on the balcony. That actually happened.
Oh, wow. That's like another level of that tale. Oh, my goodness. So,
yeah, he said when Jerry read him the story, the thing about it, Jerry, he started to cry because he said, "Tell Bruce that's not fiction. That's fact."
Well, you know, sometimes it's a very... we're not sure which is which, and there's magic that happens in this world and in the other world. Oh my goodness. Well, Bruce, thank you so much for this. This just really warmed my heart, and I know, I'm just sure the listeners have really enjoyed this too. And we're kind of at our end here, but have a beautiful, happy, magical Christmas, and thank you so much for sharing this. And I know people around the world will get this treasure from you.
True, but I want to say this to Anne. I mean, because none of us knows the reaction to this story, and you know, it could people listen to it and pass and everything else. But if it really kind of blows creates a new volcano. I would be glad to write it in a you know, small, you know, story, and if you want, you could publish it or do whatever you want with it. The thing about it is
a new little infinite light book coming along. You never know.
Yeah, well, you know, it would be a great pleasure. Obviously, I would craft. What inspired that part of it is Bruce Kaufman and the screenplay that he exerts, and we did a whole bunch of interviews, he and I, on every aspect of the whole story. And we used to meet, you know, in Los Angeles, and they were pulled out of details. So there's things in that I didn't say in this recording. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would have stretched out. I don't even know how long I talked. I don't even know how long I was.
Half an hour.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good. The thing is that, but anyway, I just want to say that, that the story could go into, you know, not a ton more detail, but let's say, you know, another certain amount of detail, which would add to all of it, but that's
isn't
already
it interesting.
There.
I saw it as a movie when you were talking. I absolutely saw it as a movie. It's amazing.
I jokingly says, if the Hallmark Channel suddenly says, "We want this story," okay, well, Jesus, I mean, you know, you and I and Bruce Kaufman better have a conference call quick, okay?
Yeah. Well, you've copyrighted. I know you copyrighted the story. I asked you before you told it.
So no. I copied. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, it would be. Having gone through these kind of exercises before, it takes inspiration, and I'm in a more of a collaborative mode than I am in a Bruce in mode, you know. So, you know, that's how I feel. So anyway, it's funny.
Well, you know, like you were just telling a story about how things happen when they're supposed to, and how magical stores appear in the middle of the British countryside, and I feel very strongly that stories have their own timing. Some of them take a very long time, and they always arise and appear in exactly the form that they wish to be in at exactly the right time. A bit like that owl. It might come in the form. It might fly in an owl.
Yeah. But, well, yeah. And ironically, they're seeing more snow owls now coming south. This has actually been reported in national news that it has never happened before.
Interesting.
And, well, yeah, the snow owl. The yeah, so the thing about if one land is on your balcony and in Charlotte, Virginia, I want you to call me and let me know.
You know what? If that happens, I will call you and we'll just sign a contract right there. So.
Oh, God. And it's a pleasure. I love your work so much. I was so happy to do that little quote. Okay,
for you
that.
Are Bruce. By the way, if anybody looks at the Sparkle series or any of the books, really, he's Mother Earth Media, and so he comes up with the most creative reviews. I love it, and so I, you know, clearly we love telling stories to each other, and so this is a match made in the other world. So.
Yeah, well, I, you know, and I've done all of it honestly and sincerely, and I just love it. And I, as I tell friends, I said, you know, you send me some books on the women of Celtic history, and you know, I said, you know, not normally that's not my reading material. I said, then send me one of those books, and I go, I'm totally suckered into it. Okay, for the night, you know, and I'm just totally enchanted by it. So honestly, everything I've said or done with you is not just because of our friendship. It's because I admire the work to the nth degree. So that I'll probably be very clear about that, because I just enjoy doing that when you send me that thing. And then that wonderful woman, I think from Czechoslovakia, wherever she was,
I did the quote
on her book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, her cookbook. I got a really sweet note from her. I mean, yeah. She was very happy. Yeah.
I just did an interview with her earlier today, and she's Eva Knauts, the wrote The Goddess Within. And just to keep everybody on your toes, she's just written a new book of fairy tales. So that's coming next. Okay, we better wrap up. But thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And okay, you take care.
Thank you for being my Swedish uncle and my storytelling friend. I really appreciate it. And again, have a merry, merry, merry Christmas, and to all the listeners out there as well. May all of your dreams come true. Many blessings.
Okay. Many blessings to everyone. Okay. Bye. Okay. Bye. Bye. Anne.
Are you ready to discover your superpowers? Go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz today.